My name is Roseanne, I'm compulsive overeater in recovery and your leader for this session.
Hi, Roseanne.
Will those who wish to please join me in the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, I wrote the serenity prayer down just in case I forgot it. You know, when you get in front of a microphone, sometimes your mind goes blank. So there's any compulsive overeaters here beside myself? Right? I don't feel half as alone. Okay. I'd like to get an idea of the levels of experience here. How many have already worked step 4 and 5? Thanks, Martin. Okay. How many have done it more than once? Okay. All right. How many have never done it? Okay. Thank you. How many are stalled at step 4 and haven't done step 5? All right. Okay. Just wanted to know because I know all people at all those levels, and so we have a lot of expertise in this room. We've had a lot of experience in this room, but we have people who have no experience. So this is Together We Can, and so the experience, I want to draw on that, but instead of doing a sharing session, I want to do it interactively now. So when I ask you something, I want to see hands, so that we're not all talking at once. And then I'll say it clearly, because these things don't always bring in everything. I don't always hear the consonants. And so I can't always tell the difference between retired and retard. So especially if you come from Western Pennsylvania, and so those kind of things. So the next question is, what do you hope to learn here? So I need some hands. Pat? Okay, thank you. All right. Let's go with, you shared in the other, you said that you'd never been here, so done it. You've never done the steps, okay. Yes, you.
I've worked the steps 1 to 3, and I hit 4, and it's like hitting a wall and bouncing off. I run screaming in the other direction, and I don't know how to get past that.
Okay, she hit a wall, and you don't know how to get past it.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Step 4 is terrifying. Okay, how about you? Yeah.
I am on my step 4 right now, mm-hmm. and I'm avoiding it. So, yeah.
Do you know what your hang up is? Okay, so I've run into that, wanting to make the step 4 perfect. Yes, ma'am.
It's my second time through, and I'm really active in the step 10 section. I'm finding I'm having a hard time finding things to put in my step 4, but I don't know if that's self-delusion.
I really just did it well the first time. Okay, we'll talk a little bit about that. It is interesting. You think you've covered it all, step 4, the first time. So, before we go any further, Margie, would you read step 4 for us?
Just step 4?
Yes, please.
Okay. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves.
And so those are two different concepts then, searching and fearless. And sometimes When we've done it more than once, we're not sure where to search. And when we've not had done it at all, I think the key is the fearless. Sometimes it's because we don't want to see what's in our attic, and sometimes it's because we don't want other people to see because we know step five's coming. So anytime you get after 55 or so, you're permitted to use notes, so I'll use notes. I hope that those who haven't had a lot of experience saw who had the experience and talked to them in the corridors, because sometimes you can come to a whole convention and sit in all the sections, workshops, and never get out of your own isolation. So make this excuse to talk to these people that have more experience. Just go up to them and bite the bullet and say, hey, I saw you raise your hand at you've done step four or five more than once. What was your secret? What was your barrier? What did you have to get over? And maybe we'll get to that. Okay. I thought I ought to qualify a little bit. Okay. You already know that I'm over 55, so we'll forget that part. Back in the mid-1970s, for those who were born since then, Overeaters Anonymous had been going for about 15 years or so. Not all the literature we have today was developed. We mostly had the big book. And I came in Portland, Oregon, at a funny-looking church, and there were people there that had been there for some time, but only one person was sponsoring. And so she took us all under her wing, and I kept coming to meetings, and I released 60 pounds. Because I sought out OA because I knew that I was becoming morbidly obese. That means you're coming to double what your body weight should be. And so it was a good answer for me, releasing the 60 pounds. And I tried to 12-step some people, and it didn't work. And they got me into something else, and my job changed. My marriage disappeared, and I moved, and some other parts of my life were falling apart. And so things got too hectic, and I thought I could do it myself. And so I left OA behind. And, those released 60 pounds had that way of coming back in that yo-yo kind of situation. And then one dark and rainy night, as they always say, and it was really dark and rainy, a friend of mine persuaded me, the same one I tried the 12-step back in the 70s, asked me to go to an OA meeting with her because she was afraid to go by herself. So, okay, I'll go with you. I started writing down my food and things like that. And so I went. And in a dank building where you had to bring your own light bulbs and huddled in the dark, I found acceptance. I found healing. And I quit binging. And it really helped. And then in a few years after that, trying some ways of working the steps, I ended up in the HAL program. And really, I didn't want to be in the HAL program because one night I had a nightmare about the rigidity of it. But I found that the rigidity was in my mind, in some people's minds, but not in the program. And so I became absent. Actually, I said to somebody, would you be my sponsor? And I'm going on vacation when I come back. luckily she went on vacation too. So since then we've had a good relationship, and I've branched out into OA and non-OA sponsorship, and but it's the healing, and to me steps 4 and 5 are the keys to that healing. You know, if you want to refurbish a room in your house, and whether you're a guy or a gal, refurbishing is something we do. Nice, clean paint, new furniture, you know, all that. First, you have to clean out the room. You have to clean out the room. You have to strip off the old wallpaper, and sometimes that's a daunting task. Well, we've got a room up here that's got a whole bunch of junk in it that started probably before you were kicked out of the womb. Because I've heard songs and things about being made whole again. Sometimes I wondered if I wasn't born broken. And so I know if we weren't born broken, some of our people don't remember that babies are people with their own minds and their own desires, but they want to mold them into their own image, really. And when they don't fit into their image, then sometimes misshaping takes place. And in that, we get all these defense systems, survival systems, so that we can be as much as who we are as we can and still survive in the atmosphere which we were put into. So step 4 to me puts all the junk out of the room into the sight. But if it's an old attic, sometimes something's way in the corner underneath somewhere, and you haven't gotten it out. And to me, that's what 10th step and the second time around, the 4th step is all about. Things that you haven't handled before, things that once you gave up, got through 6, 7, 8, 9, show up. And if they're big enough, that elephant that's gotten in your room, then you have to go back and start cleaning it out again, second time. But I hate to tell you this, but there's hardly anything that you've gone through, horrendous as it's been, there's hardly any sin, deed, misstep that you've made that somebody else hasn't made it. And the wonderful thing, and the key, you know, he read about anonymity. The wonderful key is creating a safe place. First of all, a safe place for you to share, and imperfectly. I have a guy I'm working with, you know, trying to use the cattle prod, and maybe I need to use something more kind and gentle, who wants to do his 4th step perfectly so he won't move into his 5th step. So every once in a while, I just gently say, well, isn't perfection a kind of a problem in you know, one of these things that I... Doing things well, doing the best you can, is an attribute. But for perfection in most people's life is a 4-letter word called hell. Because it then causes procrastination. And then procrastination gets you into another area that really sickens you in the heart. Okay, so let's see. All right, and then the safe place. There are many ways to do 4-step, and in this new here thing, this. This is an excellent tool, and it's designed for a class. We just been published the 12-step workbook. And they spend 4 sessions on the 4th step. And they show almost every which way you do a 4th step. Columns, resentments, and writing. But your 12 and 12 has a lot of questions in it that you can use. And then the big book has a way. So how you do it is important. And I think, you know, before you can do restitution, you think you need to do your 4th step. The fact that I stole soda pop out of pop machines, I had to tell my sponsor. But I also had to go to the people I stole the pop from and pay for the pop plus interest. There are some times that I did things that jeopardized somebody else's well-being. And I had to confess that to the people I'd done it with and go through the possibility that I could never get a job that had to do with responsibility for other people's stuff. But I told my sponsor all this and cleared my deck, my side of the street, but I also, through steps 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, took care of it. And see, then the room is clear. God, whatever you define God is, please make your God a forgiving God. Whether it's good, orderly direction or anything, forgiving, because you forgive yourself, and through the steps, forgive others, but feel that forgiving is important. Feeling forgiven. And getting step 4 done, and with a safe person, we go into step 5. And so I'm going to go seek into step 5. We're down to, I was going to say in the HAL writing assignments, there's 180 questions, so I suppose that doing it in any other way is not half as daunting, but we'll get beyond that. What we want to do, and this is a quote, is move beyond the emotional havoc and to a fuller living experience. And there's this thing about taking a camel through the eye of the needle. Well, I was in Jerusalem once upon a time, and there's this little gate where the camel goes through. And if you have a fully loaded camel with a lot of baggage, you can't get through that gate. So you have to unload the camel to get through the gate. And that's what step 4 is all about, is unloading the camel so you can get through the gate to a fuller living experience. So there's fears. But that's what I think about the healing experience of OA, is that we create a safe place so that you can, on a one-to-one basis, deal with these fears. First, face them yourself, and then move on. And that's what it's all about, moving on to a fuller living experience. Okay, we're going to step 5. Margie, would you read step 5?
Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs.
Well, we ain't gonna hear it. It's all blank. Okay, read it again so I get my mind around it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs.
Okay. Okay, those with experience of going into step five, what was your biggest fear? What was your biggest obstacle? Margie?
The fear that I would be rejected.
Okay, anybody else? Rejected?
Judged.
Judged?
I was getting pimples, my face was breaking out and everything from doing this step four. Things were really coming out. And so I was just like, can we get to step five so I can clear up?
So yeah, it was all merging. So step five was a relief, okay?
Shame.
All right.
That somebody else would know what deficient human being I was.
Somebody would know you, how you fear you, how you see yourself, really. Really deep down in, they find out what kind of person you are, and they will never associate with you again. Did you find that true? You didn't find it true. How about you?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay. Okay. Let's, Margie, run that through again.
Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs.
So it's to God, to ourselves, and to another human being. Sometimes we just skip over God and ourselves and just whip into admitted to another human being. Exact nature of our wrongs. Oh, God. Maybe we need to start at the top. Here you have this thing that you've written up some way or other. On your computer, on pieces of paper, whatever, and you got to admit to God. There once was a guy a long time ago whose city was surrounded by enemies, and they sent him a letter and said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to stomp all over you, and before it's all over, you're going to be eating your own children and drinking your own excrement. We're going to do you in. And this guy took that letter, and he laid it out and said, God, see what these guys are saying? What are you going to do about it? Well, that's the same thing with your fourth step. However you believe in God, whether it's a sprinkler in the ceiling or the UPS, what is it, universal power source, good orderly direction, he, she, or it. Other religious concepts, whatever they are, lay that out and say, here I am. This is who I am up to this point, or this is who I think I am. But really, this is what you build on top of who you are to survive. And actually, you're saying, this is my survival. This is what my survival tactics have been over these years. And once you do that, you're really admitting to yourself, and you need to see yourself. The whole thing about the 12 steps is seeing yourself and seeing yourself healed so that you go, one, I'm powerless. Things in certain parts of my life are totally unmanageable. Two, when I really think about it, there's a lot of insane things I'm doing, and I am powerless to change that. I need a power greater than myself to change that. And then three is whatever that power source is, whether it's my sponsor, the group, the program, the steps, I turn, or a higher power of some supernatural thing, I turn my life and my will over to that. I'm releasing myself into this process, really. And then the fourth step is I'm turning myself inside out as best as I can to see who I am and my resources, my survival techniques. And then you go, five is to God first. Lay it out to yourself. Acceptance. Acceptance is the key. And we have that wonderful reading, but the acceptance is such a key to accepting yourself as you are. You can't change yourself until you see yourself. So acceptance is the key. And so laying yourself out into myself, who I am, and then taking that and going to my sponsor or some other trusted human being. Some people have counselors, the therapist, the ministerial or pastoral or religious figures. But really, if you have a good sponsor or there is a good sponsor that does step five, go to them because they know how it works, how the whole program works. And you find that there is no judgment. There is no shame. It's the doctors and your parents and your relatives and the people on the street and the people in the stores that look at you weird. Those are the people that are judging you. And really, it's not, don't take it personally. It's the problem is in their head, not in you. It's nothing you've done. Your presence has awakened something in their mind, and they have to judge you so that they don't have to face themselves. So when you go to a sponsor, they understand where you're coming from. They might not understand what you've done because maybe they've never figured out how to get pop out of a machine without paying for it. Maybe they've never run away from responsibility when they should have stayed at their post. But maybe they've done something that you've never done, so they can identify. So that's the big thing, is that it's a release. How did you feel when you came out of your step five? Let somebody tell me. Okay. Yeah, so your sponsor identified.
Yeah, and I thought, I'm not the only one that has done some of this shit.
Yeah, you're not alone in this world. And that's the thing about OA, is we're not alone. Together we can do what we never could do alone. And that is central. Creating a safe place, anonymity, creating a program that works, and do not having to do it alone. When, you know, one of the first things I heard somebody say, she says, oh, somebody called me and said they gotta eat. They just, there's, and the sponsor said, okay, thank you. Where are you? She says, I'm standing in the kitchen. Well, back out of the kitchen very slowly. Don't take anything with you. And see, your normal eater friends don't understand that. But that's why we're here. We don't want to do it alone. And we don't have to. And I'm going to read this because I haven't memorized it like some people in this room have. So, but my favorite part of the any meeting is if I can read the ninth step promises, which I don't have my big book. I was one of these idiots that because of the weight problems on the airline, I didn't pack my big any literature. I figured there'd be literature all over this place. But this, to me, is my second favorite thing. I put my hand in yours, the promise. And see, remembering the struggle of the beginning of our founders, the struggle they went through, I put my hand in yours, and together, we can do what we could never do alone. And most of us have tried it alone. And going through this room, I'm sure we could come up with at least 50-some ways you've tried it alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. We have hope. And if there's nothing else you carry from a meeting, is hope. But if you carry the hope home long enough, you'll have healing. And that is, to me, the key. No longer must we each depend on our own unsteady willpower. Back to step one. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for power and strength greater than ours. As we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. And we never in our dreams have dreamed of such a way of healing and recovery as we found here. So how many minutes do I got here?
8 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
I got promises if you want to read them.
Okay.
Okay. Just kind of have to sort of.
Go like that?
Yeah.
Okay. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. And some people say, well, you shouldn't be reading this before you get to step nine. I said, no, it's a promise. It's a promise. And before we get halfway through, before we get past step four and step five, we'll be amazed. And we'll continue to amaze. Oops.
I just pushed the button here.
Okay. There I go. This is why I don't have a smartphone. We are going to know new freedom and a new happiness. And that's true. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. That's an interesting thing about step four and step five, is after a while, after you've done it.
Just tap the screen if it goes gray.
Okay, thanks. I tapped the wrong thing and went home again. But the thing is that this is one I've struggled with. There's a lot of things I haven't shared with anybody outside of OA. But I'm learning not to regret the past or risk shut the door on it, because we're learning from our past what not to do, if nothing else. Okay, we'll comprehend the word serenity and we'll know peace. And that peace comes in little pieces. In the middle of the night, the serenity prayer sometimes works better to put you to sleep than anything, because you know you can't do anything until morning anyways. So why worry about it? Just let it go. No matter how far down the scale we've gone, we'll see how our experience can benefit others. And sometimes we giggle at that or snort. You know, but it's true. No matter how much weight you lose, and no matter how far you've gone down in your, in the things you've done, either way you look at it, you still have experience that you can share, and it'll benefit somebody else. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Because once we identify and you've seen how you've been helped, you can spread that help to somebody else. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook on life will change. And that's true. And that's true before you get to step nine. We'll intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. And lots of you can tell me miracles of your higher power that solve situations that you had no idea how to do it, but it came to you maybe overnight or something else. We'll suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Oh, where's that fear of economic insecurity?
I can try to find it.
But I'll just say that I thought, it doesn't the economic insecurity leaves you, it's the fear goes away. And once the fear goes away, fear clouds your mind more than anything. Some guy calls it fog. Fear fogs your mind up. So you can't see situations clearly. But when you let go of the fear, then you can see. And then you can intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. Are these extravagant promises? You think not? Tell me. Do you think not? Here, let me hear. We think not. These aren't extravagant promises. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Thanks for